All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Do It Yourself, where you have myself, Vega Bomber, and
Juice.
That's right. The always trusty, always reliable sidekick who's here to make sure that we have a great talk today about, well, this time around, the movie Interstellar. But before I get into that, let me just again remind some of you, especially if this is your first time to check us out, why we're actually getting together to do this and what this is all about. Do It Yourself is basically about the movies. When you get ready to go to your favorite movie and you oh, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to do Star Wars. And then you get there and it turns out to be episode one and you're just frustrated and you can't believe that a movie with everything that you know about it didn't live up to hardly anything that you thought you were going to see. So that's what we do here. We take a movie like that, episode one, which, by the way, we're going to have to dig into the crates and go get some older movies, Juice.
Oh, yeah, some retro stuff.
Yes, sir, and talk about that. And so what we do is we like to go ahead and not only just critique the movie, but also turn around and put the writer's hat on and say how we would have fleshed out a scene or did something different to make sure that the flow would have went better, the pacing, or the basic overall movie just would have went better if we just made a couple of tweaks here and there, or maybe we have to just trash the whole back half of a movie sometimes. Just rewrite it, you know. So that's what we do here. So the movie that we are talking about this time around is Interstellar. So let me give you a couple of facts about the film, and then Juice is going to say a few things, and then we'll just get into it. So Interstellar, you guys remember, it's Christopher Nolan. Who wouldn't remember Christopher Nolan films? We know all of his films are usually pretty long, and this movie is. It's 2 hours and 50 minutes, so be prepared for that. It's almost 3 hours, but when you add in all the commercials before that, yeah, you're out. You're out for the evening, so don't make other plans the day you go see it. It did come out in November, and I guess the Metacritic rating for it was just an 8.8 on a scale of 1 to 10. But Rotten Tomatoes gave it like a 72 percentiles where it was at. And then the debate started because some of us liked the movie. Some of us didn't like the movie.
Yes.
Juice, where were you at? Did you like
it? You know, visually I liked it, but there was a lot of problems with it, which we'll talk over in the coming hour. You know, like I am a big fan of the director, other movies he's done, specifically, you know, the Batman films. So overall, the first two at least.
Right, right.
You know, other movies like The Prestige, which I don't know if you've seen that, but that was a great, well-made movie.
Yes, I think that was the shortest of all these films.
You're probably right. Yeah. And that's about it. And also another, you know, Matthew McConaughey over the past two or three movies has done a good job, too.
Yes, he has.
But now he's doing, like, where he's kind of playing kind of the same character over and over again.
Yeah, he's kind of falling into that trap. I would agree with you on that, too. And so, myself, looking at this movie, it's a tough one, too, because on one level or one side, I like thinking movies that are not just the same thing run out every time. Does the movie Hangover ring a bell to anyone? So I do like the idea that Christopher Nolan is reaching and doing something different, and he has the audacity to try to just make a very strong visual film. So from that perspective, you know, I would say I was probably more liking the film. However, on a rewatchability and entertainment factor, I'm thinking about just a normal dude on a Friday night, going with the boys or going with your girl. Would I really sit back from an entertainment value, enjoy the elements of what this film gave us?
Well, one thing about that is, like I said, smart movies are well, you know, liked overall. I like, you know, smart movies.
But agreed, yeah.
Then after you have to, you know, actually study and spend like, you know, you know, weeks, months, what have you, actually read about, you know, science and read, you know, you want to go there after a movie and have, you know, homework.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. If there was ever a movie that gave you homework, it was definitely this one. And so I guess what I'm saying to you out there, if you haven't seen this movie yet or if you've seen it and you're waiting for it to come out on DVD, this is going to be a spoiler. Terrific. So if you haven't seen the movie and you're waiting for the DVD to come out, you probably need to put this on pause and then come back and check us out later and see if your viewpoints line up with ours. But I would say that, you know, the movie was entertaining. I don't hate it, right, but I know I certainly won't buy it on DVD when it comes out
because you're right.
That commitment of time, I just don't see me doing every time.
Or even, you know, if it comes on, you know, on TV or anything, that'll probably be a full, you know, 4 hours probably, right? 3.5 hours.
Good Lord, yeah.
With commercials and everything.
Yeah.
And you can come back and, you know, go out and have a bite to it and it's still on. It's like, hey, look at that.
What? They're still in space?
Yeah.
Damn. So let's talk about some of the, I guess, the good things about it. No, by the way, Interstellar is nominated for one category in this, I guess, coming up, this year's coming up Oscar Awards program, and that is the best visual effects, but it's in there against some pretty stiff competition.
The visual effects, yeah.
Yeah, because it's in there up against Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which was my favorite movie of 2014. Also, X-Men Days of Future Past, which is also my top three. Yeah. And then it's going also up against Guardians of the Galaxy, which had a lot of great visuals, and even Captain America 2.
Yes.
So Interstellar is up against some great visual effects, so I don't know how that's going to play out. But it only got like one nomination. So let's
to that point about the being nominated, you would think it'll be nominated in a screenplay or be nominated in other ways. And this is Christopher Nolan, right?
Yeah.
The past few years, he's gotten cred, not just as moviegoers, but also the Academy.
That's right. It seems that there were enough films out there, I guess, that they decided had better actors, better picture, better whatever. And, of course, that's always going to be debated because it's always subjective, but
right.
I guess just starting with the positives, because this film is not a movie that if you bought it on DVD, you would just turn it into a coaster. It really wouldn't be.
It's not a Michael Bay film.
No, it's definitely not a Michael Bay film, no matter how many of those that he keeps putting out, even though they keep making money. But I would say that from the positive side, because, 72% from Rotten Tomatoes is nothing to sneeze at, and even from my own perspective, you got to give it a nod for the multi-layers of thought process that is going on in the movie. You do have to think, and again, that's certainly not an evil twist at all. I would say that the performances given were probably okay. I wouldn't say that Matthew McConaughey just was 10 times better than he was last year.
Right.
In the Dallas,
Buyers Club.
Buyers Club. Yeah, I wouldn't say that it was markedly better than that or anything like that. So, but I would say that in terms of the visuals, it definitely had that.
Yes.
His reimagining of just what a black hole might even be.
Right.
Or, and for that matter, just the space robots that he had, the one robot that he had, very monosyllabic looking thing, but he had one. And it was okay. I like Anne Hathaway, thought that was okay. So I think that's pretty much mostly what I can go on is the visuals.
Right. Acting wise, like you said, it was good, strong performances, but nothing that gives you indication that it's that there's some Oscar winners in there.
Yeah,
they just did their job, and it felt like they said their lines, and that's about it.
Yeah, they said their lines.
No human connection.
That's the tricky part too. And I would say that in terms of the story, then, I guess it moved along okay. Again, 3 hours, there's some scenes that just went on way too long. It took forever for some, and I get that it's in space and things are moving at a slower pace as you're watching docking go, some docking happening or them connecting. But I guess in our short attention span world, it's really hard. You gotta tell yourself, be ready to just sit down and make sure you don't have anything else to do or anything else because you're gonna really have to just take it all in.
Right.
You're just gonna have to. And I would say Matthew McConaughey was fine. He was really fine. So the acting was okay. He was fine in the movie. But then I guess we have to kind of get to the things that I thought kind of
just didn't work.
Pull this movie back, and then we're going to go ahead and rewrite it. Because seriously, there were a lot of things that they did right in the movie. We could go on and on and on about it. Then we wouldn't need to do it here. But there were some inherent pacing issues, I think.
Right.
I think there were some plot holes. And then again, we know it's a time travel film. And you can always pick holes in them, and we don't want to do it that way, but we do have to say, were you entertained?
Right.
Were you entertained? Gladiator, right?
Right.
So what did you think of that father-daughter dynamic?
I think they tried to push that on it too hard. It just didn't work for me. He had several scenes, with the audience to try to make it connect. It's just for me, it didn't connect either. I don't know if we talked to you earlier about that, the aspect of him going to the parent-teacher conference, to try to make a connection with the little girl, where she eventually grows up to be a smart woman. That just didn't work for me.
Yeah. It just seemed like, I guess if I take it from that aspect too, it's like this movie supposedly comes down to the whole aspect being about love, and that's where it kind of hijacks. It just goes off the rails at that moment because you think you're going to see some sort of science fiction type film with maybe some sort of robots going crazy or some just bad stuff happening, and some of that happens, but just at the pace and the story, the way it's set up, it doesn't get there. So, for example, in the very, very beginning shot of this movie, we're supposed to just understand when this is, what year it is, what's going on. And all we see are these TVs lined up with people just talking, and they're all old people. So at some point you just have to figure it out, which it may not be, you may not hit it right off the bat, but you have to figure out, oh, it's old people talking about something because this actually happened in the past, although we're seeing conditions that are affecting it now, like dust storms and things like that. And so that's kind of a mind.
Then it hits and it's a present, right?
And yeah. Present. So and then they're in the present. Starts,
yeah. So that kind of took you out of the movie because your brain had to think about it and like, okay, now what's happening again? And so it's the past and the future, the present.
Yeah.
It took a while to get back into the movie. I mean, and the movie should be where it hopefully the first scene or two should draw you into the characters or draw you into the story. This one, it took me out for a minute or two.
Yeah, just a minute or two. Yeah. This isn't like you can't figure it out, but the fact that you do have to sit there and process it a bit before you get to it kind of gets to you. And again, I don't think thinking is bad in a movie. I just think that if you're going to start putting stuff together, and if you really want us to believe on the plot here, which we're going to talk about as well, you're going to have to definitely make this the performances between, I guess, Matthew McConaughey and his daughter really stand out. And they have scenes where you feel it, like when he's in the ship and he's crying, when he's watching the video of his daughter, just leaving video for him, and he can't say anything to her. Okay, I give it to you. That was tough. That was right there in the heart. It got there. However, just like you said at the very beginning, just to set this up, I didn't care.
Right.
And what happened to his son? It was like,
oh yeah, it was like underdeveloped son. Why have him? If they should have just cut him out.
You know? Yeah.
And why have him? I don't even think they had any good scenes with the son and the father. More of maybe that's why they were trying to connect that it was all about the daughter and it was about setting up a situation where in the end, it'll loop back to the daughter. Maybe that's why. But then why have the son?
Yeah, he didn't really need it.
He's underdeveloped.
Yeah, if you're really trying to sell the idea that this is really, even though they're going out into space and he's the only space guy that can do this, which you don't even get that at first.
Right.
At first, you think he's just a farmer. Right. But evidently, he's an astronaut too and all this other stuff. So I didn't make all that connection at first. And so this idea of trying to bring in NASA.
Right.
So the father-daughter thing was kind of hit or miss. But then now you want to bring in NASA, and so they capture this drone, and then they're acting like it's no big deal. Like, they're like, oh, let's go check it out. Or they're acting like it's a deal, but we don't know why that's a deal to catch a drone. And he tries to explain through exposition, well, it's probably got information stored on it. Maybe it's a da-da-da-da-da, and you're going, okay, maybe it does. You know? It's like, so I know for me, I was kind of sitting there kind of going, okay, I guess. But it didn't tiny to them really. So NASA then evidently is got this big major plan
that's been happening for a decade at least.
Yeah,
and it's already running. And wouldn't NASA already know about all their great pilots? Wouldn't they already gone to him? That's one of the things that doesn't fit in the logic of linear of the story.
No, I think you're right, and you would think that to your point. Why NASA is even thinking about doing something is moving all the people off the planet.
Right.
Right? Because they just need to, because this, obviously the Earth is ruined.
Right.
We're never told why. We just know that it's a global crop blight.
Right.
And then there's a big dust bowl thing that happens. And I think there's two of them that happen.
Yes.
So, but we're never told really why. We're just to assume.
And
I guess
crops are failing.
Yeah, I guess just. What the Earth just is just on its own, it's just running out of resources now.
Right.
Like it's been sustaining itself for all these billions and millions of years that scientists will tell us.
Well, at least tell us that. Right? At least tell us that now that the resources are at end. And another thing about the time, it doesn't tell us, is it the future? Is it 2025? Is it 2050? They don't tell us that. Maybe that's, he tried to outsmart himself, I think, Nolan, trying saying that, don't say in time period, so this can people can see it in 50 years and then still hopefully connect in his mind.
Yeah,
Nolan probably thought that. That's why he didn't
specifically
say, is it now? Is it it could fit in 50 years from now because what are the crops are failing, so then there won't be that much money, so people will be using older cars, that could still fit. But he doesn't actually tell us. Maybe that's why he wanted it to. Stand the test of time. I think it will. 10 years, I don't know. We never know. 10 years is going to be a 10th anniversary Blu-ray or a crystal ray, whatever they want to call it.
See, that's mighty, it's mighty ambitious, Mr. Nolan, to assume. Because I don't think when Lucas made Star Wars, he was thinking, I got to be aware of this and wary of that.
Right.
He just made the movie that he wanted to tell the story. He didn't worry about the after effects of how long this, and I think you're right. That could be, if he was thinking that way, he was definitely overthinking it and really, at some point, if you're going to make me have to care about the characters, then I really need something. And just the idea that it was just, okay, so he cares for Murph, his daughter.
Right.
And that was just the theme.
Right.
You know, and he never, don't worry about the son. Don't worry about your grandfather or your dad, John Lithgow.
John Lithgow.
And the rest of the people. But
John Lithgow, he did had good moments, but his character was underdeveloped too overall.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
why have a great actor like that and not really write juicy, you know, scenes with him.
Yeah, I mean, because this is supposed to be like familial.
Yeah, it just makes him making breakfast. That's why I saw him. I remember him.
Yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah, if you're gonna, because this is supposed to be one of the stronger bonds, other than Anne Hathaway's needing to get to her boyfriend astronaut that's out there on one of the two planets that they have to choose between which planet they might want to go to,
right,
which is a logic versus a love thing, and then she breaks down with the whole, yes, but I'm in love, and love is the one thing we didn't counter on that crosses through any space and time continuum. It's love.
Speaking of that, she comes out of left field with that, doesn't she?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
the character is not set up where they foreshadow that.
Yeah.
At least they would have had a scene or two where maybe they were had a picture of the boyfriend and talk about the boyfriend before they go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have been a better connection to the storyline if she would have done that. Because out of nowhere, she starts talking about that.
Yeah.
And that kind of fails in aspect of the script.
Mm-hmm. So you've got, if you're following it now, so the opening scene, we're just seeing a desolate area of somewhere in the United States that's been affected. It's definitely a rural farming type area, or maybe it wasn't before, but it is now. And then you see that it doesn't look too well, and the way it's shot, okay, we get that. And then here's an introduction to this family.
Right.
This one family, right? Out of all the people that should be suffering from this thing, we are only looking at this one family and how they're dealing with it, which then kind of doesn't make it feel like this is a big broad thing everybody's worried about.
Right.
You're just looking at, oh, so here's a guy, his daughter's really smart, his son's kind of a jerk, but they go to the same school, and he's going to show up and just be dad.
Right.
And so he shows up, and then, they get all this stuff going on between the principal and the teacher, and some conspiracy theories about whether we actually really walk on the moon or not.
Yeah, I forgot about that part. Yeah. That was hidden there.
Mm-hmm. They were saying.
All baked.
Yeah, and the conspiracy theory on that.
That's another, it wasn't developed too. They add that, and is that a government-funded conspiracy to kind of hide NASA? Because now you can't spend money on that.
Yeah.
But then they have a black, budget.
Yeah.
Where everything is funneled to the underground.
Yeah.
NASA, hidden somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere close by to them too. It happens to be close by to them.
Yeah, where NASA.
That would make the connection. It's like, how can it be? It took a while, I think. It took like overnight to get there, but still, it's kind of close,
Yeah, yeah. Before they figured out it's like a decoder time.
Now I'm poking holes left and right over here.
but this is the scene that you're getting in the beginning, and so this is where it's supposed to try to build you in. So you're still not sure what was it that actually took the Earth down? I guess you're saying the Earth just kind of started to fall.
Right.
Or whatever, it started to burn up its resources. We just got to assume that that's the case.
And just corn.
Then corn's the only thing that evidently can sustain or can grow and be sustained.
And then soon they say, the theory is that the corn will fail soon. Mm-hmm. When I say soon, probably in the coming decades or so.
Sure. Whatever that means.
Right.
See, in the time continuum movie, you're just like, whatever. 5 minutes ago really was 5 hours ago. You just don't know. What rules they're playing by yet, and that's what makes it kind of hard when you're sitting there trying to watch it and you're trying to get into, because it distracted you from getting to the emotional connection that they were really trying to
sell
with the father and the daughter, which I couldn't, because I'm still sitting there going, wait a minute, she said something about this and she's wondering about that, and somehow the brother's kind of in the way and he's kind of
then the conspiracy about the astronauts about the moon never happened, the moon landing, so
so you're just kind of like, all right, okay, so I guess we're going somewhere with this. And then eventually they go in, and I forget again because it's been a minute, but they're going at night, I guess, to go seek out.
It was overnight to seek out. He was going to go alone, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was going to go alone. And
then
the
daughter jumps in and goes in there.
And then we get the big reveal. Aha, it's NASA's on the other side of the fence.
Right?
And so, wow, how about that? This great pirate who's a farmer, evidently, and who's super, super smart,
right,
has a super, super smart daughter, just happens to run into NASA. Was it because of the drone that they kept?
Yeah, it was a drone.
Something like that, where they were checking its beacon.
The beacon,
I can't remember maybe making that up, but it just seemed very convenient. They show up there, and then all of a sudden, now we get the first plot twist.
Right.
And NASA's been working on this for centuries, for a while now.
Like at least 10 years, 15 years.
Decades,
and they sent 13 astronauts to figure out 13 planets, right? Is that what it was?
Something like that, yeah.
Like each astronaut... You would think you have a partner too, but wouldn't you just go alone?
Yeah.
No, I think he went to groups.
Yeah.
I think he went to groups. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably jumping a little bit ahead.
But
they went to groups. It's been at least a decade, if not longer, and now they're going to send another ship to see what happened. Mm-hmm. You don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so now it's about whether he'll go do it or not.
Right.
And then now he has to go tell Murph. The daughters. And so now we're supposed to get that feeling of, yeah, well, you know, it's really hard to tell kids that you got to do something tough, like go save the world. So,
go work for 6 months out of the house, right? It'll be the same thing. Like, gonna be gone for 6 months.
And in here, that might have been okay before, but because your mind is still clicking and trying to figure out, you know, what's this thing with NASA now? And
Why
are these other people going to be introduced and all of that? And you're still thinking while they're trying to develop this father-daughter. So I think that kind of killed them there. And so then I guess they finally get up in space.
Right.
Right. And I guess the whole thing is that, hey, this could be a one-and-done type deal.
Right.
If he doesn't come back in time.
Right.
So now he's out there. And then, you know, they show up and they have Matt Damon's character show up.
Right.
And
That took me out of the movie for a moment too. Again, you know, like in the beginning, the talking TVs, the older people took me out for a minute or two, and then I kind of got back into it again a little bit. And then this time with Matt Damon shows up, that took me out of the, I think I should have just casted an unknown actor, but relatively unknown. And that would have been a better job, I think.
I think so too, because I mean, now you're out on this planet. And so now Matt Damon's character is just Man. That's his last name.
Right.
Supposedly he's the best of all of us. They keep saying is he's the best scientist of all of them, the smartest, whatever.
Right.
But his last name is Man, MANN. So we're supposed to get the metaphor that he's talking about mankind. And guess what? This guy's last name is Man. So you're kind of like, okay. So that tells me something, that whenever a movie has to drop you hints, that maybe it's getting a little deep for itself.
Right.
When you're worried about whether people will get where you're going, you have to do stuff like that.
Kind of hold the hand of the audience a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should tell you that maybe you're going down a path that...
that's not
going to
work.
Yeah, or that's just getting a little too deep that maybe it needs to. Because if you really want this movie to be about love, what does love and space have anything to do with each other? They don't at all.
Love and logic.
Which the justification of that might be neat to say, yeah, well, here's how we would do it. Well, if this is how we would do it, then, I mean, you're talking about cold, hard calculations of where things might be and how they might be. That has nothing to do with emotions and feelings.
Right.
But yet, Anne Hathaway's going to come out and start talking about
it. I'm going to go to this planet because my boyfriend's there. And I love him and I want to see him again.
Yes.
Even though he might be dead.
Even though he might be dead, but we don't know. But then what are the odds that he might be dead? Well, then based off of what we know about planets and how they move around the Earth and how they move around any kind of solar system, could a person sustain this much life with this much oxygen with this much? I mean, you almost could feel like yourself getting back to work and almost wanting to pull out one of your calculators to try to figure things out. Pull out your phone.
Textbooks.
You know, people start yelling at you. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just trying to calculate this stuff, baby. Don't get mad at me.
Let me take YouTube. There's a professor on YouTube somewhere. You're explaining it, right?
I need something because this movie is definitely letting me know that I'm not worthy.
I'm not smart enough.
I'm not smart enough to do
that. But that's the thing about the job of a screenwriter.
Yeah.
Is to have everything in the film hopefully make sense for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fault of the screenwriter, in my opinion, if he can't make it accessible to most of the audience, at least most.
Yes.
90% of the audience.
Yes.
And this one was like, you know, some people liked it, but there's people that it just didn't make sense and didn't make that connection for the movie overall.
So. Mm-hmm. No, that's true. If you put five people in a room who are moviegoers that watch all kinds of movies, and you ask them about this film, whether they loved it or hated it, you know, you're going to have one in every five person. That might say, yeah, absolutely love this movie enough that I would buy it and watch it again just for fun.
Right.
Most people will see this film because it is Christopher Nolan. It is brilliant. It is smart.
Right.
But again, we're talking about entertainment value. Right. And if you're going to try to sell yourself as being, you know, here's a great story between a father and daughter but told with the backdrop of space, Well, you failed big time because I don't think most people got that connection.
Right.
And again, it's, I hate to do this, but we have to do it because we're Star Wars fans. But this would be, this movie is akin to if Star Wars Episode 4, the very first one, New Hope, if it started out with Grand Moff Tarkin sitting down in the control room talking about, well, the rebels are doing this and we've got this Death Star station that we're going to build and we're going to, and they're just sitting down having a conference call first and all this stuff, and they're right. They're making their plans against the rebels and what they're going to do, the Empire and all this stuff.
Right.
We'd be sitting there going, wait a minute, who the hell are the rebels?
Right.
What are you talking about?
What who is are
the,
you?
What's right? And that's not how he started the film. He didn't start there. He started with action first.
Right.
And then he pulled the layers back and did it. I understand because Renault was trying to do his own style. And sure, we gotta definitely thank, you know, people for being different and doing that.
Right.
But in a way, people have been conditioned to put things together. And I think it's upon you, like you said, to write this in such a way that people will get it and you can go as deep as you want. Because, I mean, I've seen people talk about Star Wars and put it on levels it's not even on.
Right.
But it was because they connected so much with the characters, they could take it deeper.
Right.
They could talk about the motivations of Anakin Skywalker and Luke Skywalker and why Ben Kenobi even took the kids to you know, Owen and Aunt Beru and all that stuff.
Right.
And how does he know him that well to know the uncles and aunts and all this stuff.
Right.
Right? So there's at least a connection where people will take Star Wars and go deeper on it.
Right.
You sit here and go, with this movie, you have to go just the opposite. You have to try to find ways to make it palatable so you can understand it.
Right.
You can't take this movie deeper than it already is because it's already super deep.
Super deep.
You just have to kind of pull back and try to understand what you just saw.
Right. Yeah, yes.
And so I guess that's clever, right?
Right.
That's clever.
It's clever. You know, but everything should be in the movie. You should not be, go out and you know and study black holes or study all this other science. You know, it should be everything, at least 90% of it there in the movie.
Yeah,
and it'd be entertained, like you say. Mm-hmm. There was they come out during like late summer, right? Mm-hmm. Late summer. Mm-hmm. So you know, maybe if you wanted to do a different type of movie, maybe you should have put it in a different time period, you know, January or something, or February.
Right? Yeah, something. I don't know, but because it did come out in November. It came out in November, right.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that it just, you know, it for what it eventually tried to reveal itself as plot story-wise,
right.
It then worked because now what you've got is them out in the ship and they're arguing about what's the best way. Because really, Matthew McConaughey wants to get back because of his dog. And she's like, I don't necessarily care so much about that as long as I can get to my boyfriend who's already out in some planet because you can't underestimate love. So now you're arguing back and forth about what love is and what it does. And and obviously he's loving his daughter and she's loving this guy. And so they're on both opposite ends of this deal, but they do the logical thing anyway.
Yeah, because they have a beacon going into the, so you know, at least you have an idea that there's hopefully somebody alive there. Mm-hmm. There is nothing at the other planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which logically you know, I think most people would go with the planet that there's a beacon.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
90% of it.
That's true.
Probably 10% of it probably would think, I'll go with love.
Mm-hmm. So that love thing, it should have come out later.
That should have come out later, yeah. The love thing, maybe they should have cut that part out and just gone with the beacon and not even have, because again, that came out of left field in terms of her. Because she's a scientist also, right?
Yes.
That's what I get.
Yeah, she's supposed to be pretty smart too.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, the better shot would be the planet that somebody's alive instead of a planet that you don't know if they're alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's almost like you add all that drama to it.
Just that.
It feels forced.
Right, forced.
When really this isn't a movie, really, that's not selling itself mostly on feelings. It's selling itself mostly on logical and critical thinking and intellect. That's what it is. With a familial relationship kind of shoehorned in it, that seems kind of forced and contrived at times.
I think he was trying to maybe get you know the two different audiences, maybe the audience of all that like sci-fi science, and then the audience that like more romantic films or more character study films. Maybe he wanted both. Mm-hmm. Just like most movies that try to have. You know, two or three different aspects of a movie, this just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been movies like that they have like, there's a tonal shift in the middle of the movie or during the last part of the movie that just kind of crashes on itself.
No, that's exactly right. And I think that when you talk, so you talk about the performance then of, okay, so after they make the decision to go ahead and go to the planet where the beacon was, which was the right decision, didn't need all the other stuff. Then of course you have the treachery the man.
The man.
Mm-hmm. And his lines were so like, I'm going to do this to you, and don't mind me. If I'm not here for a long time, I've been doing this way, and I'm kind of crazy. Don't mind me. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I don't know how many times he must have said, don't judge me.
Don't judge me.
And it was just so, like, weird. Like, and to be honest, to be fair to Matt Damon, mm-hmm. how would you play somebody who's been lost out in space
10 years,
for
10, 15 years,
whatever it is,
right?
And you have to somehow
convey that.
Convey that a really intelligent person just...
Without, I'm, in my mind, I'm playing his you know... his scenes,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of, it kind of, now you can think about it, if we foreshadows that he's kind of gone crazy,
mm-hmm.
if you think about it, because the way you think mm-hmm. he said that, he's mm-hmm. saying, you know, whatever, speaking real quick, and
mm-hmm.
and kind of saying, you know, forgive me, or whatever, so mm-hmm. he's kind of foreshadowing that he's going to betray him.
Mm-hmm.
Most people say that you can kind of see, most of the time, see people's thoughts before mm-hmm. it happens.
Sure.
Or their motivation, not mm-hmm. motivation, but, you know, mm-hmm. the way they're acting. Yeah, mm-hmm. before they actually act on you,
right.
against you in terms of, you know, mm-hmm. violently or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they were giving him, I think he was giving them, I don't know if he wrote it this way, Nolan, you know, for the audience to kind of show that he was kind of, you know, crazy
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I get that he was crazy, but it's kind of like by then, this right. comes up after she talks about love and all that
oh,
stuff.
Right.
Or somewhere right before that, right or after that, or something like that. And it's like, you're already reeling from that, like, really? Because, again, you're still trying to figure out where are you going with this whole thing, right? Because the daughter also, backing up a bit, she brings up, like, ghosts.
Right.
And they never really explore that.
Oh, just right.
Other than the fact that she thinks that there's ghosts.
Ghosts.
And then he sits down, well, daughter,
right.
All right. You might think that there might be ghosts out there,
right.
but you have to be able to support that, you know, thought
right.
with some sort of, intellectual dissent there. And, the son's like, you idiot, there's no such thing as ghosts. And it's like, okay, so that's all we need on that.
Right.
When, if this girl really believes that there's ghosts out there, wouldn't you see, but we never really get the sense, she's just in this one episode, this one thing, she thinks
oh, she
might be ghosts in her room. And she doesn't seem to be afraid of it. Most
right.
kids would be afraid
of
ghosts. I guess that's her imaginary friend or something.
Right.
I don't know. But it just, see, again, that was just something else that just didn't connect as I think about this going forward. So, you now are going to take us to this place where we find out love is the great thing, and then all of a sudden, Mr. Man turns on you,
right.
and he goes so crazy that he forgets that if he doesn't unlocks an airlock, he'll kill him.
Oh,
he's
right.
one of the smartest of one of us.
Right.
But he's going to forget that, evidently. He's going to blow up, and then the robot's going to sacrifice himself for them,
right.
which makes you love the robot more than anybody else.
You're right.
Because
yes.
in Star Wars, Ben Kenobi sacrificed himself. It wasn't like C-3PO sacrificed himself for them to get on the ship and get out of there, right? So here's the robot we hear the very insensitive. Well, that's what they're made for.
Right.
Well, that's what they're made for. It's not like they're, you know. So right. here we are trying to build up emotions and feelings that you should care, but it's a computer. It's supposed to die.
It's
supposed to serve us like that.
Right.
We're so great, That's why we're going out here in the first place with a half-baked plan, but we're going to come back and save our future selves. Our past selves, even though we're already into the future,
right?
We're going back, but I digress.
And speaking of that, the plan A was to colonize, right? No, plan A was to find a planet to get everybody back.
Mm-hmm.
But then they switched it that plan mm-hmm. A was always a lie. That wasn't going to happen.
No,
it was going to be actually, actually regrow generations of humans
mm-hmm.
on a different planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I had the Emperor.
Uh-huh.
All the different, that kind of didn't work either, in my opinion, because wouldn't NASA or other scientists kind of see that deception
mm-hmm.
before it went on too long? Or maybe they were part of the deception?
Mm-hmm.
That never connected to me in terms
mm-hmm.
of wouldn't other scientists know this and that mm-hmm. it wouldn't work?
Mm-hmm.
How many decades you spend, mm-hmm. 50, 60 years of your life writing an equation
mm-hmm.
to figure out to have enough power for, arcs, basically arcs to go mm-hmm. to space,
mm-hmm.
to go to
the wormholes to go through.
To go through.
Mm-hmm.
So that just didn't work for me either. So,
that's a tricky part of it too. So then you end up having the fight then, and then they get off the planet, and then he wrecks the ship, where it's going to dock.
Right.
All that stuff happens, and there's one last chance, and then Mr. McConaughey finds himself, Coop finds himself in the black hole.
In the black hole.
Yeah, so now he's in this thing, which of course no one's ever seen a black hole. It's just a theory, but
and it's in tune with her daughter.
Yeah, it's in tune with his daughter.
His daughter. Mm-hmm. So the way it's loosely explained is somehow they created this somebody in the future, us maybe. They don't even say that, right?
No.
That created this world inside the black hole that's in tune with him, with the daughter. And maybe it changes all because if another human would have gone there, it would have been in tune with somebody else. You see, that's what
that
was right there.
Yeah, that
was always predestined. Was it always predestined that it was going to be him? Because you know, also it might not work that way because you know, in there you can go to different areas of a lifetime.
Right.
You know, so anything that's happening, you know, when she's a little girl, it's also happening when she's you know, 40 years old or what have you. You know.
Right. Right. No, it's, yeah. I mean, it's.
So it lets the audience kind of, you know, fill in the holes a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it try to overshoot its, you know, logic in the film.
Sure. Sure. No, it's, yeah. It's, I mean, there's tons of things that we could certainly question, but it's just kind of generally going through it and they're just trying to figure out that you're right. I mean, that's yet another thing you could ask.
Right.
And then, of course, the fix then is that somehow through Morse code and through a watch and the movement of a watch and things that he's sending and the way the books fall on the floor and what they leave behind in the sand and dust, that she's smart enough, the equation, she's smart enough to figure out that something and then that's her dad and her dad's doing it. And so, I mean, again, it's...
Also, another thing is, now that we're talking about this, it's established that in the black hole... Everything's happening at the same time. Everything.
Yeah, right. You know,
her, conceivably her death. Mm-hmm. But he figures out to hit the exact point where she is, you know, 20 years after an adult now, hasn't been at home, she left home, hates her father.
Mm-hmm.
And he picks exactly the same time to give the Morse code, to give the equation, to figure out everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In her, her lifetime, which is at least 100 years, at least, maybe 95, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
So, that, you know, is that we're kind of, you know, jumping faith, the faith that it's because of love. He figured it out, you know, because first he goes to as a kid and, you know, does that when she was a kid. And then now it jumps her when she's an adult, exactly at the time when she's in the bed.
Right.
Exactly at the time that she needed it. Mm-hmm. She was losing hope. And the Earth is gonna, you know, be destroyed. Whatever, humans will die. Humanity will just be snuffed out.
Yeah, no, it's
and now that I'm thinking about it. It's like, oh, it's just everything is lined up. I know it's somebody's writing it.
Yeah,
but it's still the suspension of disbelief is very, you know, thin in my opinion. At that point, he finds the exact time.
No, he does, and I guess they'll say something like, I guess an apologist would say, yeah, but he was able to look down the time frame. Like someone in the library looking up books and he saw sections of her life. And
right.
So I guess that's how they would explain it, but still your point's very valid. And so then we get to this point where, so she's then able to figure it out and know what's going to happen. And so then he doesn't die.
Right.
She saves him and then he comes to see her.
The way it's set up is he's somehow, thrown out of the
black hole.
The black hole. Mm-hmm. And it's already jumped, you know, 90 years. I'm assuming 90 years. 90
right.
years. And so they somehow pick him up, right? Because they go by, oh, look, it's an astronaut there. Mm-hmm. So they pick him up.
All right.
Goes back and she figures out that it's been decades.
Yeah.
You know, almost a century. Mm-hmm. And now she's, you know, dying.
Old.
You know, they're going to say her age, like 90-ish,
right.
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all this happened. And I think, you know, that's another aspect of it. It's like, you just happened to, the ship happened to go by, pick them up right when he spit out you know, even though decades happened, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's, you see, whenever you do a time bending stuff,
Now I'm thinking like a better movie, we have to talk about that. How would you make a better movie?
Well, we're almost done, because remember the ending. We haven't talked
about the ending. Right, okay, go ahead.
Another part of this that I thought was pretty weak was that the movie should have ended at least two or three different times, and it kept going. So he gets back and we get to see him with his daughter and all that stuff. And then that's anticlimactic. Right. She's basically like, oh, dad, great. You're back. Well, I've already moved on.
I don't
so
need you. Have a family.
Take off. Go back. All right. You know, go live your life.
You go find her.
I've had a full life, but you haven't had one. So you go do that, you know, and all right. that stuff. Cause somehow she knows that he hadn't, you know, right. and so I'm just like, well, that's crappy.
Right.
I mean, this whole time he's crying and worried and he sees her and she's angry and then he finally gets to see her and that's the best that happens is that she's saying, I don't need you. Look at all this family that I've had to make me. That still wouldn't, if I know people today that their mom may have died 2 or 3 years ago and they're still grieving about
right.
it. There's still moments where they would still say, man, I'd love to have her here if she was here or something.
About this.
But here it's almost like, oh, I'm good.
Right.
You can go ahead and go off now. You know, go, right. go save that other astronaut. The other thing that you were doing, yeah, go do that.
Go make a family with her.
Right?
I guess.
And so that's anticlimactic.
Right.
And then he goes.
And then that's how it ends.
And
right?
then, yeah, and then
well,
he gets there.
Her.
And
her.
You see that she's alive. And
right.
that she actually made it to
right.
that planet.
To that planet.
You know, while he was off doing the thing in the black hole, she actually makes it. She has enough power to get to that planet. And
right.
Whatever. And now she's not going to be alone.
The cowboy.
All right.
Space cowboy.
Yes.
Part
gonna,
two.
And then there they go. And now they're going to go ahead and
I guess
and they're going to have love.
Right.
You know, and all
love.
This other stuff. And so forget the NASA program and what all else was going to go on and what we're going to do and how we're going to get people off the Earth and all the other stuff.
Right.
We never really got an answer to what happened to that thing.
Yeah. At least one scene, right? At least one scene of you know, him actually making it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to with Rand, so,
mm-hmm.
with whatever her name is,
mm-hmm.
Anne Hathaway's character, whatever her name is.
Yes, yeah. So that's basically how the almost 3 hour movie decides to shut down after all of that. After your mind's in a maze, running through all those things. So
right.
let's talk about how we might fix some of this because yes. it's one thing to say that, but then we probably have some ideas of how we might have made this movie a little bit more. I don't know, we wouldn't dumb it down because that'd be a disservice
right.
to him, but at least make it a little bit more palpable so that when you do set up certain scenes,
right, it works
they work better.
Yeah.
So that's it, because we're definitely not going to say we know this better than Christopher Nolan, because that's just not true. But we have seen a lot of films and we know certain things that seem to work to the contrary. So, just what do you think? The father-daughter dynamic, what are some of your fixes
you
on
know,
that?
The fixes on that, I mean, you know, I think they felt forced, they should have taken, the first thing, they should have taken the son out.
Okay.
Totally, because, you know, he was just there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that could have added a little bit more scenes with the daughter, you know, maybe one-on-one instead of, she lamenting the fact that, you know, that the brother is making fun of her because
mm-hmm.
of Murphy and everything
mm-hmm.
goes wrong and,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of foreshadows them there a little bit when he says that it doesn't mean that anything bad happens. It's whatever can happen will happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's which did happen in the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes in a black hole and all that stuff. So
mm-hmm.
I think that what it should have added more, you know, instead of her being angry, with him, I think eventually she should have seen, you know, what he was doing when she grew older
mm-hmm.
and kind of, you know, I think at one point she stopped doing videos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, at a certain
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't even do videos for him.
Right.
From what I understand, from what I remember.
Well, she did a couple.
A couple,
that's what
but
crying about.
Then she stopped. At a
right.
certain point.
Yeah.
Because she was angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she should have let that go. You know,
mm-hmm.
because once you grow older, I would think you would, you know, see, you know, what his logic was to save humanity and then actually let go her hate.
Just see him as a hero.
As a hero.
Right.
Yeah. So
okay.
that would have been a little bit better in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that for me, the before I even got to the father and daughter, what threw me was just the beginning because I didn't know where we were, what the context was. I didn't know anything. You had to really, really watch for the first 25, 30 minutes to really get a good idea of what was going on other than just, okay, yeah, it looks like the earth is kind of in shambles now, but I don't know what caused it other than just that the earth is kind of diminishing on some level, but you had to assume all that. And then with all the TVs sitting there, old people talking, that could have went so many different directions.
Right.
But then, of course, eventually you settle on the idea that, okay, so this is older people talking about what it used to be like.
Right.
But I don't know what it used to be like because I'm assuming that this is today.
Right.
And somehow we just don't have anything with corn crops that
corn
grow
crops.
Well, and so
mm-hmm.
I needed to understand a little bit more. That would have been great if they could, because I think that's what helps set up the father-daughter tension.
Oh, I
like,
see.
What does a father do to survive? Because then the school scene would make more sense.
Right.
But he's going to school and he's a little angry that they want her to be something else and she's too smart to be that. She should be something more than a farmer and all that stuff.
Right.
So when you don't really give us any reality about what's going on, I think Grandpa should have died.
And
that shows the bond and that, you know, Matthew McConaughey, that's his dad. It's dead. It's Grandpa dead.
Right.
And that's her grandfather dead.
Right.
And so when you start like that, then you can be like, okay, so what do they do? And now as a family, they want to pull closer together.
Right.
And that was their grandfather's farm.
Right.
So they have
keep the farm,
thing about the farm.
Connections
of right. There's that farm. Right. And so there's this thing. And so then it's like, okay, well, we're going to be the solution, not the problem. Mm-hmm. So let's figure out how we're going to solve things. And then that would make more sense if you just kind of, there need to be something besides just, she might be in trouble at school again. So you need to go on up there. I can't do it because I need to be at so-and-so, my bingo game.
Right.
So you need to go on up to school and play that parent role.
It was like a TV movie felt.
Yeah, it did. That's a good analogy. It felt like an after-school special, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, kids that are trying to hide the fact that they gotten in trouble at school or something. So it just didn't, humanity wasn't there. I didn't have any concept. I didn't know. So I think I would have put something in there to let us know, like, give me a time stamp. Let me know, when is this? Is this 2015 or is this 2025?
Right.
Just something. All I had to do was just go, I guess it's somewhere in the future. But when the Dust Bowl thing happened, when the crop blight happened,
right.
Maybe they said it. I didn't catch it. I didn't catch this going on for a very long time. And it was struggling and, there were no
eventually you get that, but not in the beginning. Like a movie should draw you in, in the first, at least couple minutes, at least.
Yes, and so I use the example of Star Wars a lot, and where's the people out that I'm good again. But the very first few minutes of Star Wars, they don't sit down and try to explain who the Empire is, who the Rebels are, and all this other stuff, and who Grandma Tarkin is in relation to Darth Vader, because he seems to be ordering him around.
Right.
Right.
And it just starts with a battle. Right.
It just starts with, here's this battle. Here's what's happening.
Right.
Right now in a galaxy far, far away. Bam. Here it is.
Right.
And they did try to tell you in the crawl, but then you don't really know what all that means until you see it, because you're not supposed to tell us. You're supposed to show us in a movie, right? So in the movie, you just basically said, okay, you guys know where we are, right? Here we go. Yeah. We're on Earth.
Right.
What's going on?
And we have corn.
Yeah, we have corn. And it's the best.
Driving a pickup.
And not that we couldn't figure it out, but it's just that I think maybe that goes further the length to help show that they're in a dire situation.
Right.
And that humans need to figure out, what are we going to do here?
Right.
Because really you don't get that any other person's really bothered by it.
Yeah, there's scenes during the first 30, 40 minutes of, you see a lot of people heading out of town or heading – across town or across, just like the Dust Bowl from, in early 1930s, 1940s and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they were trying to get a connection with that all these humanity just, mm-hmm. exiting out of town or out of the small town, out of the city,
mm-hmm.
and trying to find their way. But they didn't make, it felt like they were trying to make it epic, but it felt a little bit small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did. Actually, that's a great way to put it. You're right. It did. It should have been on an epic scale.
Right.
But really, we're just seeing it through these two couple of people. We don't see any other people around, really, other than the principal and that teacher.
Right.
We don't even see any other kids.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So you're trying to, so are y'all still trying to live like we used to live before, but with this stuff happening? Or is this, I don't know. Maybe I just miss it. So here's my fix. My fix would be, I guess I'm kind of borrowing from some of the other films that are out there, is that I think, why not start off with space first?
Right.
Right? And then, like, to your point earlier, then flash back to some moments on Earth.
On Earth.
I think that'd have been better. So if that would shorten the film down some too. So, they're out in space. They're already in space, and Anne Hathaway's talking about her boyfriend, and he's talking about, who did you, the question is,
who did you leave behind? Yeah.
And then that's when you go back, a la Christopher Nolan style in Batman Begins.
Oh, right.
And he shows that Bruce Wayne falls down the shaft, and that's how he becomes Batman. And later on, when his parents get killed.
Right.
So he goes back and shows you some of the movie that way.
And why he's afraid of bats in the Batman film.
Absolutely. So in this case, show why he's really missing his daughter. There needs to be a scene where, just like Batman, how traumatic it was to young Bruce to fall into a cave with nothing but bats.
Right. That would have been a good connection also with the Anne Hathaway character with the boyfriend.
Right.
Maybe even have a scene with him. He's never actually seen.
Yeah.
See how he looks. You don't get any character connection with her because you don't know him.
Yeah, and maybe the thing is that if you do have the sun in there, maybe it's that the sun has died because of the crop light, you know, right. Or maybe the grandfather has two,
right,
and the only two left are father and daughter.
Daughter.
And if that's the case, then you can see why he's betting it's everything,
the only family there,
yeah, all on her. Uh-huh. But otherwise, it just looks like he's just playing favorites, and that's it. And because she's smart, she should get more love than the other brother.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not his fault that they can't play football anymore because the crop light ruined all the fields and the Dust Bowl ruined all the football games.
Now he has to be a farmer.
So now he has to be a farmer. I mean, but there's a story there. So I think that's what I would have done. I think I would have just started already with some huge monumental space shot first.
Right.
And then you're seeing it turn and spin or whatever, and then you go inside to see who's in it, and inside of it, there are those two arms. And they're sitting there doing their check this.
You can introduce the robot if you want at that time.
The robot's introduced.
It could, like, 30 minutes, right?
Yes.
And then 25 minutes.
They're having this intercom come in, and it's NASA telling them, okay, this is what you have to do next in our plan. Our plan is da-da-da-da-da. And then when that's off, you know, they're just sitting there in leisure time. They're just kind of going, well, now that we're just up here, and time is just kind of moving still, but it's moving fast down there.
Right.
What do you think? I mean, and see, that makes it more human.
And then they can make a point where they actually never met each other before this.
Yes.
And now they're trying to get each other, who they are, what the family is, what's happening. And it would have been a better human connection.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. And I think if there has to be a son, the son and the grandpa have to die to where the only thing he has left that he has to live for is this. Yeah. He's already kind of burnt out on NASA, so you can keep the whole tension between him and NASA.
NASA hates NASA kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Still keep that, but then he's thinking, well, shoot, the only thing I really got to live for really is my daughter. Now, that makes more sense.
Yes, that would have worked way.
But to say I'm going to pick her, and I don't care about whether my father dies or my son dies, it just seems kind of staged.
Staged, yeah, right. Too by the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Too convenient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think if you have man on this island, but on his own planet. I think
you would keep him too?
You keep him, but you have him sending in his messages too. So you're getting messages from NASA, and you're getting messages from him.
Right.
And NASA's telling you how it is on one way, but he's telling you something else.
He's telling you the truth. Right.
And see, what could be really cool is now it's almost like a thriller.
Right.
Because here are these two who are just starting to meet each other through stories of family and all that stuff. And I think you have the black guy on the ship too, the token black astronaut.
Is that what
call him? Yeah, he'll come on every now and again to talk about Adidas and Run DMC, and he'll throw on he'll give you the latest hip hop slang or something like that.
That's funny.
But no. He wasn't the token guy. I'm sure he was on there for a good reason. But
to grow old. Basically, to show you the science of the planet that you lose, and every hour you lose seven, years.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of, I think he kind of held your hand in that instance, where kind of show you a physical transformation, because they were gone only for like 3 hours, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been like 21 years, and now he's there alone. Would he go crazy also?
Years? Well, I think everybody should go crazy about space. I mean,
by himself?
I don't understand any of that. You know what I mean? So I think you could have this great tension part where NASA's saying, here's what you should do. And he's saying, because this is what's going on. I'm telling you, because he's hiding something.
Right.
And NASA's hiding something. You know who to believe.
Right.
And it's causing those two to argue. I think if you build the script around that, you'll get
the tension.
If you really want it to be about family,
right,
you're in the movie wanting to see him get back to his daughter,
right,
at that point. And you're wanting to see her get to her boyfriend, and you can show some scene where the Dust Bowl ripped away her family, his family.
That's
the only thing he had left was that guy, and he was a survivor, and maybe she had a daughter too, or who knows.
Mm-hmm.
You write it. You write that in there. But I think if you put a little bit more elements of some more action in it, you didn't have to wait so long in between it, the action pieces, I think people would have been more excited and could have sat there for at least 2.5 hours. I don't know about, almost three, but I think
you have to do something
to create that extra tension in there.
Right.
And then I think, when the movie ends, it would be better if you didn't know if he made it back to the daughter or not. You let everybody kind of decide. You shoot a scene in there that suggests that maybe you made it out.
Oh, right.
But maybe he didn't.
You don't know.
You have to decide. Did he or did he not?
Just like Inception, he kind of left it open. Is it a dream? Is he out or not? And he kind of left it like that.
Yeah, because to have it go back and now you see the daughter, and the daughter doesn't even care to even really see him in some ways. That just didn't play.
That scene didn't play.
No, it didn't play at all. So I think if you did that, and then of course, You can have man be diabolical, so there's some crazy stuff. But it turns into, who do you believe? The intercoms that are coming in from NASA or him?
Yeah, because NASA's still hiding the fact that the plan A is scrubbed.
Yes.
It was plan B all along.
Yes.
And that kind of, so both of them align.
Yes, and man knows it. He's already figured out what he wants to do, and he's thinking, screw NASA, I want to do it my way, but it's something that benefits him.
Right. Like set himself up as the king, emperor, whatever.
Yes.
That kind of in his mind. Because he's crazy.
Or he wants them there so that maybe they receive. Oh, he needs a woman.
Oh, maybe that's it.
So he needs to talk them into it, and that's why he's going to take out Matthew McConaughey. So he can be with her so they can reseed, they can start all over with them. So, I mean, that's right. Crazy people would think of something like that.
You would think like that, yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, that could be a way that this is written in, and then you don't need all this other extra stuff, and you can trim some serious time off this movie, but still have beautiful visuals.
Just speaking of that, yeah, because that's one thing that in this movie, overall, I didn't have tension. It didn't feel like there was something, even though...
Well, the tension wasn't good.
Yeah, it wasn't good. They were trying attention. It was... too forced tension.
Yeah.
And it wasn't tension that you, at least in my opinion, the audience didn't feel it.
Right, right. No, they didn't, because again, most people know that when you have a familial type family relationship, you know how you are about your brother. You wouldn't let nobody talk bad about your brother.
Right, you can talk back to him, bad to him, but nothing else.
But I mean, it's just kind of like, we have these things, and so that's where I think where Interstellar, as far as I'm concerned, is it's a good movie. If you want to get away and you want to think, you will definitely think. The only problem I have with Interstellar is just that if you're going to try to introduce the human themes, I don't know that that's the backdrop to try to do that in the way that he did it, but then trying to continue to keep everything like, well, then because this leads to this and because of quantum physics that and this and this and that, you're relying on too many things that people don't know really much about to help you drive the
human
evocative side. Yes, the evocative side of the story, which that won't work because we're used to just common, simple themes. You know? You don't punch my brother, I'll punch you.
You know,
that's what we're used to. And then, sorry, that sounds caveman, but that's how we are.
Right.
But in this, it's like, no, because if he could do this, and he can push books out, and if he could, have gravity do this, and show
the
watch, and then all this other stuff, and then, So, I mean, I give him, props for at least trying it and doing something different. I know that there'll be a certain percentage of the population that will absolutely love this film.
Right.
And that's okay. It's totally okay. Me speaking as somebody who wants to just go see some entertainment, though, I found it really hard.
It's hard to somebody as you try to go watch it, and that you kind of have to waffle back and forth and think, visually you can watch it. The themes might interest you overall, but there might be some disconnect.
Yeah.
With some logic of the story or some logic of, love conquers all. In terms of this was a more logic film, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, love conquers all. Love can conquer in a shorter time than 2 hours and 15 minutes.
There you go.
If love is truly a conqueror, I think it could do it in less than 2 hours and 15 minutes. Yeah. But I think, and I say that really just to say that, just be prepared. If you do watch it, I'm not saying this isn't a movie you shouldn't see. You can see this movie. You just be prepared. Just know that you got to be ready. Now, if you're a Nolan fan, no one has to tell you that because you're already used to that with Nolan films. But if you're somebody who's not really a big Nolan fan, you just watch films and you don't really know much about the directors because you don't care, you just want to see a good movie, just be forewarned that you bring something with you so afterwards you can pull out your textbooks and go look at quantum physics and all this.
Drink your Red Bull.
Yeah, drink a Red Bull. Definitely drink some Red Bull. And if you're going to see it, don't see it at night because you might fall asleep, before the end. I know I did, but not because it wasn't a good movie. It was just because I was tired and I wasn't prepared.
And you did see it twice.
I did, yes. Yeah. I did. Thank you. Yes. I saw it twice because I wanted to make sure I'm absolutely fair to this film because, I like Christopher Nolan. I think he did a great job with the Batmans, even though some people think that he killed the Batmans and took all the fantasy element out of it. But I think a guy running around in a big bat suit, that's kind of sounds like fantasy to me.
Yeah, there you go.
Just don't know. So I don't know. What did you think? I mean, you guys that have seen this movie, what did you think? Was this for real or was this not? Or were we just being a little too critical of it? Or you think we're just not drinking enough Nolan Kool-Aid to really accept it for what it is? Certainly you can comment and let us know. Definitely check us out on the podcast. You can definitely see Juice anytime up there.
And Keith Comics.
That's right.
East Mockingbird.
That's right. He's up there, East Mockingbird, and I'm always online. You can find me on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitter under the handle Vega Bomber. So, next episode. You know, people have really been getting honest about Star Wars, man, and why we hate the prequels so much. And not that the prequels don't deserve some sort of criticism, but I wonder, should we do episode one?
Maybe.
yeah. So in any case, we will do that one next. And as a matter of fact, I think we're going to do that. We're going to do episode one. We're going to break that down, hopefully have some fun. And, of course, that's going to be a four-hour show, so I hope you're ready for that, because that's how many things – no, just kidding. It won't be 4 hours, although we probably could find that many plot holes in it. But definitely think about it. Get ready to ride with us on that one. I'm Vega Bomber, and he is
– Juice!
That's right, and we are out. We'll see you guys later.